Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
Well, now to an issue that's fallen off the radar. We've covered it before, back in 2007, when U.S. troops were told that their disabilities weren't combat-related. They were pre-existing conditions, even when the injury was shrapnel in their head from an explosive device in Iraq. And presumably, even when they'd been screened by the military before enlisting and these pre-existing conditions weren't discovered. It sounds incredible, but it's still going on. Joshua Kors has been following this story. His latest report appears in The Nation. There's a link to it at our website, hereandnow.org. He's at the NPR studios in New York. Josh, welcome back to Here and Now.
Good to be with you, Robin.
How is this still going on?
I think the bigger question is, how come so many Americans don't know what's going on? Since 2001, we have 22,600 soldiers who've been discharged with this personality disorder that's being used to slide wounded soldiers out the side door.
Give us some examples, because you can tick through some cases.
Sergeant Chuck Luther is at the center of this story. He was wounded by mortar fire in Iraq, slammed his head against the concrete, and developed severe migraine headaches because of those wounds. After that, he was having serious vision problems. He went in for medical care, but they tried to tell him that his blindness was caused by personality disorder. When he refused to say that he had a personality disorder, that was the cause of his blindness, his shoulder pain, and other wounds that came as a result of the mortar fire, they put him in a closet and held him there for over a month under enforced sleep deprivation, blasting heavy metal music at him. As he put it to me, he came to the aid station for medical care, and at the end of the day, it looked a lot more like enhanced interrogation. Well, you can imagine at the end of a month, he was willing to sign anything, and he did.
What is personality disorder? What does the military mean by that?
Well, the actual mental illness is a severe childhood illness. When properly diagnosed, deals with people who can't converse normally with others, who can't take orders, who can't operate in a group setting. I've looked at dozens of cases in the 3 years I've been reporting on this story. And case after case, we're looking at soldiers who not only were screened several times before moving on to Iraq and Afghanistan, but also operated with honor. In Sergeant Chuck Luther's case, he had passed through 8 screenings and won a dozen medals before this pre-existing condition was discovered.
In other words, they've been screened and allowed into the military. You'd think that you would find something like this. In none of these cases was anybody thought to have had a problem before they went into the military.
That's exactly right. And I think the phrase pre-existing condition is well known now to so many Americans from the health insurance battles. With soldiers, it's just as severe. If your wounds from war are linked to a pre-existing condition, that means no disability pay for the rest of your life, no long-term medical care. And even for these soldiers discharged with personality disorder, they have another blow. They have to give back a slice of their signing bonus because they are too wounded to complete their contract. That means that on the day of their discharge, Sergeant Luther was given a bill for several thousand dollars.
And by the way, he fought the diagnoses so much so that he was put into solitary confinement. We're going to hear his story from him. But you spoke to his commanding officer, Major Weary. Weary tells you that his take on Chuck Luther is that he was a good soldier who came home, saw his wife's new haircut and slimmed figure, and was driven mad by fears of her infidelity. He also went on to say soldiers are conniving, they're manipulative, and that he was told by the family that Chuck Luther had mental problems and had been taking medication before this happened. What does his family say about all that?
His wife and mother were furious that false accusation was made without the slightest bit of evidence. This is a soldier who not only had been healthy for 38 years, but also had never taken a single piece of medication. Every one of his problems came after the blow to his head from the mortar fire wound.
Joshua Kors, I want you to hold it right there because we have Chuck Luther on the line from Fort Hood, Texas, interestingly. Sergeant Luther, what was it like When you went to a medical station to try to get help and didn't receive any, what happened?
It was pretty horrific. Asking her for help, I felt scared. And when I was being told that I was faking my symptoms, I just felt totally betrayed.
What were your symptoms? And tell us more about the mortar blast that caused them.
Well, we were in a guard tower at our combat outpost outside of the main FOB, the forward operating base, and we received an incoming mortar blast that hit right at the base of the tower, knocking the tower over almost completely. Knocked me down. I didn't know what happened. It hit us so quick. I laid there for a minute. I was in pretty bad pain. I had extreme headaches. My nose was bleeding. I had clear fluid coming from my nose and my ear. I could not hear out of my right ear at all. My arm was numb. My shoulder was cramping. And I got down and I went to the aid station there on our combat outpost. They gave me ibuprofen and water and sent me back to duty. And since, you know, I still have reoccurring injuries from that with my ear problems, with the headaches still now that we know was a TBI.
By the way, Sergeant, TBI?
TBI is traumatic brain injury.
Well, you know that now because you ultimately went outside the military to get a diagnosis. But when you came home and went to the medical station on your post, how were you treated?
I was treated bad. They told me I was malingering, that I was faking my symptoms to get out of work. And I said, I don't understand how I can fake nosebleeds, dehydration, weight loss, severe headaches. But they didn't even screen me. The Army has a regulation in place now after a concussion explosion like that. Soldiers are to be screened immediately within 48 hours for the traumatic brain injury symptoms. It took 3 years after the blast to finally be screened for traumatic brain injury at the VA.
But initially, as we heard from Joshua Kors, for more than a month you were in a 6x8 isolation chamber. You were hearing all this rock music blasting. It sounds like Abu Ghraib. What did it feel like?
It was complete torture. Insurgents that we had captured, we treated better than that.
That's Sergeant Chuck Luther, wounded in Iraq. The military said his symptoms were from pre-existing conditions. Journalist Joshua Kors tells his story in The Nation. When we come back, what is Washington doing about this? That's in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Army Sergeant Chuck Luther and journalist Joshua Kors, who covers veterans' issues for The Nation. Sergeant Luther was wounded in Iraq and is one of the more than 22,000 soldiers who've been discharged since 2001 with what the Army calls personality disorders, meaning they're denied benefits because the military says their injuries can be traced to pre-existing conditions, not what happened to them in combat. Joshua, this is still going on, even though the Pentagon and the Army Surgeon General have investigated it. And when Barack Obama was an Illinois senator, he sponsored a bill to end this practice of personality disorder discharges. So what happened to that bill?
The bill basically went nowhere. And it's an interesting thing because it made Obama both a hero and a disappointment to so many veterans. Hero because he recognized that this was not just the story of Chuck Luther or one soldier. We were looking at the military saving billions and billions of dollars in disability and medical care because we're having tens of thousands of wounded soldiers being slid out the side door without benefits. Obama put forward a statement recently saying that he was still very concerned about this issue. And the co-author of that bill, Senator Kit Bond, Republican from Missouri, he recently gathered a group of senators to write a letter to the White House to say, hey, you were a partner of ours in this issue. Let's get going on this. For so many veterans groups, they look at the White House. They know that the president knows how these personality disorder discharges are being used to deny benefits to wounded soldiers. But yet his words haven't resulted in action. And it's going to be very interesting to see as this issue grows whether he's going to take definitive action to eliminate that discharge and remove that loophole.
Well, there have been changes after the Pentagon and the Army Surgeon General reports. The Pentagon has changed the way it diagnoses soldiers in some ways. It includes requiring that a doctor diagnose the soldier's personality disorder, a lawyer counsel him, and it recommends that the Surgeon General review each soldier's case. But you, The Nation, reported that when the Surgeon General did claim to review the PD cases, they never even spoke to the troops or their families.
That was disappointing. The bill to halt the discharges was watered down into an amendment, part of a spending bill that was signed by President Bush, and that required the Pentagon to study the issue. 5 months later, they produced a report that landed on then-Senator Obama's desk, and the study said that not a single soldier had been wrongly diagnosed, and not a single soldier had been wrongly discharged. But with the Touchmore reporting, I found out that in those 5 months, they hadn't interviewed a single soldier, not even those whose cases they were reviewing.
Sergeant Luther, we understand that you're now working with other veterans who are going through the same thing you did, and you've started an organization called Disposable Warriors. How can you fight this, though?
It's still a work in progress, but what we do is we intervene when we see these things happening at the beginning stages, like mine happened in the aid station. We have a direct line of communication with some of the senior commanders in the Army, at the Army post and all the way to Washington, and we intervene quickly because no one should have to go through this anymore. If you're injured in the line of duty, then you need to be recognized for that and you need to be taken care of.
But we understand there's been a backlash to what you're doing. There's some troops who see you as stepping outside the line, maybe.
Yeah, they feel like I've betrayed them. I've gotten the note on my car to back off, or me and my family would pay. I've had my car keyed on the side. I've had my tires flattened, my American flag burned. But, you know, those are intimidation tactics, and one thing that the military taught me well was not to give in to intimidation in spite of the enemy's antics, and that's where I'm at now, and that's a good indicator that we're touching the right nerve and we're getting to the right places if we're making people that angry, and not that we want to make people angry, but some soldiers that do those things and say those things to me are a little bit misunderstood, and those are the very soldiers that maybe tomorrow or a year or 2 years from now, once they're used up, Lord forbid that their commanders throw them away, we'll be the organization that'll be there to pick up the pieces for them regardless of how they felt now. And it's just because they don't understand fully and they don't want to accept that this happens in our Army.
Well, Sergeant Chuck Luther, as we heard from Joshua Kors, to add insult to a lack of recognition of your injury, you also discovered that when troops were diagnosed with personality disorder as opposed to, let's say, PTSD, in other words, if they were told that they had a previous condition, a previous disability, they were required to pay back part of their signing bonuses. Have you paid yours back?
I am not. I told them adamantly when I spoke with the Department of Finance that until I have a breath left in my body, I refuse to pay that $1,501.
And of course, Robin, that refusal comes with consequences. The regulations are very strict. Not only do they have to pay back the bonus, but if they don't, the military starts assessing interest.
That's Joshua Kors. His story about Army Sergeant Chuck Luther's struggle to get his benefits after he was wounded in Iraq but told that it was a previous disability appears in The Nation. We'll link you to it at our website, herenow.org. We've also been speaking with Sergeant Chuck Luther. His organization is called Disposable Warriors. We'll link you to them as well. Thank you both for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, by the way, Sergeant Luther, how are you feeling now?
Good. I have great days, and then I have good days. I try to let the bad days go. I have my family. I have my friends. And most of all, I have my soldiers to take care of. So it gives me purpose and meaning to keep pushing forward for the guys that need us.
Okay. Well, thank you, and best to you. And in addition to Sergeant Luther's organization, Disposable Warriors, there's also a Facebook page devoted to this issue. It's called Stop Personality Disorder Discharges for Our Wounded Soldiers. There are links at our website, herenow.org. Still ahead today, that real New York car bomb scare and the woman who writes fictional suspense stories, Mary Higgins Clark, here and now.